And Kenilach, King Henry, got very upset.
But I want those apples for myself. They're the only apples I can eat. Otherwise, I'll eat nosh and get fat again. I can't eat any other apples.
And King George is laughing. Either I'll take the apples just for myself, or I'll sell them to you.
Sell them to me? You mean you'll let me buy the apples?
Yes, King George says, I'll let you buy the apples, King Henry.
Well, how much? Now, how much does an apple cost? 59 cents a pound? 69 cents a pound? Maybe 40 cents for an apple? Okay, how much does it cost? Yes, how much does an apple cost these days?
$1.
Well, maybe an expensive apple will cost $1. Okay, King George says, Henry, just for you, I'll give you a special price. $100 silver for an apple. Just for you, $100 silver for an apple.
What?
$100 silver for an apple? How could that be?
Take it or leave it.
Kinnaloch. King Henry was getting very upset. He lost his whole field of apples to King George. And after all of that, King George is going to make him pay $100 an apple. Oh, King Henry is getting very upset. And he was forced now to accept the decision of the map makers. They pack up the maps. They blow the trumpets a few times. And they go home, back to their palaces. And King Henry says, give me that book. Let me see that book. Let me see that map again. Maybe there's something we could do. Well, he's turning through the book. He looks at the map. He says, what else is in this book besides this map? I haven't seen this book in a long time. It's an old book. The officer says, well, part of the book is your family. I know who my family is. What do I need a book to tell me my family? I know who my wife is and my children. No, no. Your grandfather's, great-grandfather's, great-great-grandfather's, great-great-great-grandfather's, all the way back as far as it goes. Oh, let me see who my great-great-grandfathers are. All of a sudden, he turns to the page. Shh. Where his great-great-great-grandfathers a long time ago were. Shh. And he sees the name Haman ben Hamdasa ben Hamdasa Ho'agogi. He sees the name Haman ben Hamdasa Ho'agogi. Did you ever hear of this name? Haman. Henry is an eunuch of Haman. He says, who is Haman? This is my great-great-grandfather. I really don't know anything about him. Can anybody tell me anything about him?
Shh. Oh, is it getting noisy? This story is just beginning, by the way. It's a long story.
Shh. All of a sudden, King Henry finds out he is this descendant of Haman. And one of the soldiers, I'm sorry, one of the officers, who was a officer who knew a lot of things, he says, Haman is talked about in the Jews' Megillus Esther, the story of Esther, because they read that on one of their holidays. It's called Purim or Pirim. I'm not exactly sure what it's called. Sometimes they say Purim and sometimes they say Pirim. It's called one of those two things.
Shh.
Anyway, King Henry says, tell me something about my grandfather, Haman. I want to know about him. Now remember, Henry is in a bad mood. He's very upset. And like a baby, he wants to do something to make himself feel better, not to be so upset. And all of a sudden, he finds out he comes from Haman. Okay, the time is up for today. Tomorrow we will continue. The story is just beginning. It's very long. Who wants to continue tomorrow with a very long, very interesting story? It's just taking off, by the way. So we have to be quiet right away tomorrow. Now eat your apples. Oh, it's so wonderful. They're serving apples today. Why do you think they're serving apples today? If we're in our story, what is serving apples? Yesterday also were apples. Oh, it's so wonderful. The yeshiva serves food according to the story. Not only the story is in lunchtime, lunchtime is in the story. Why are they serving apples?
Because in the story, it also has apples.
Yeah, which story has apples? King Henry. Actually, we're kind of done with the apple part, but you know, it's just kind of nice to see apples during King Henry and the apples. If we're quiet, we will continue with the long, very interesting story of King Henry. Okay. The last thing in our story is King Henry is very upset because they discovered that Derek the Drunk was the map maker for King Henry's map. Now, whose map was right? Irwin the Expert or Derek the Drunk? Irwin the Expert, he was known to be an expert. Derek the Drunk was known to be a drunk, to make crooked lines as he fell over shikar over the map after drinking a big glass of matzke. He fell over and made crooked lines. So his map was not right. And therefore, King George got the apple field. And therefore, if King Henry wants an apple, he has to pay a tremendous amount of money. And therefore, King Henry got in a very bad mood. He's very angry and upset. And just like a baby, when a baby gets upset, they want to like let out their anger on something. Unfortunately, this is what happened. King Henry was looking through the rest of the book. The map was also together with a certain book. They took the map out of the book and they put it back in a place where it folded up. And on the next page were the grandfathers and great-grandfathers of the kings of King Henry's kingdom. And he just discovered he is a descendant of Haman ben Hamdasa Ho'agogi, the big Rasha. But he didn't know anything because he never studied Megillas Esther. And now he finds out there's such a yontif called Pirim or Purim or whatever you want to say. And now he's going to find out, who was my great-great-grandfather Haman? And the officer says, well, King, your great-great-grandfather was a very great officer of the King Ahasuerus. Oh, that's wonderful. He was the Mishneh LeMelech. He was the second officer to the king. Oh, that's very, very wonderful. And he was also a big, big millionaire. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, what else can you tell me about my great-grandfather Haman? Well, he was hanged together with his 10 sons. What? My great-grandfather was hanged together with his 10 sons? Yes. And his big 10-story house and all of his money was taken away from him. What? His 10-story house and all of his money was taken away from him? Who did such a terrible thing? Yes, and also, he paid 10,000 silver pieces for something and he never got it. What? You pay so much money for something and you never get it? Not only that, the one who took away his house Not only that, the one who got his house and the one who hanged him and his 10 sons, he became the second to the king, and he got all of the money, and he went into your great-grandfather's house. What? Such a terrible thing happened to my great-great-grandfather? Who's responsible for this? Well, his name was Mordechai the Jew. What? A Jew? A Jew did this to my great-grandfather? Oh, yes. Your great-grandfather was supposed to be in a special parade, riding on a horse. And Mordechai the Jew, he was supposed to pull the horse in the parade. And he was supposed to yell, "This is what the king does to the one who the king wants to honor." But instead, at the last minute, Mordechai got to ride on the horse. And your great-grandfather Haman, he was pulling the horse. And he had to yell in the street, "This is what the king does to the man that the king wants to honor." Oh, my poor great-grandfather, losing the money, getting hanged with his 10 sons, losing his house, getting pulled. He has to pull the horse in the parade. Not only that, during the parade, do you know what landed on your poor great-grandfather's head? A big garbage can landed on his head. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. And, you know, Mordechai, your great-grandfather, he knew about Mordechai, and he wanted to hang him on a big tree, on a big stick. But instead, the king Ahasuerus, he said, instead of Mordechai getting hanged on the big stick, your great-grandfather and his 10 sons got hanged on the stick instead. And you know whose fault it was? Mordechai the Jew. Oh, no. This is the worst day of my life. I lose my apple field. I have to pay King George so much money for apples. And I find out that my great-great-grandfather was treated so not nice by a Jew named Mordechai. I'm so upset. Oh, what am I going to do? Well, you're the king. You could do whatever you want. And all of a sudden now, King Henry says, "I'm so upset, I'm going to do something very, very not nice. Well, what could I do?" One of the officers says, "King Henry, why don't you get the Jews back for what they did to your great-grandfather? There's Jews in your kingdom. And you know what? I have an idea. All of that money that your great-grandfather lost, the 10,000 silver pieces, you know who got that money? Well, Mordechai and the Jews. Why don't you make them pay back the money? And then with all that money, you'll have money to buy your apples. You could make a special room full of money, and anytime you want apples, you could take the money out of there. Make the Jews pay for your apples. After all, they owe you money. And then you won't have to worry about paying so much money to King George for apples." "Oh, that's a good idea," says Henry. "That's a good idea." And the evil officer said also, "Why don't you take a Jew named Mordechai, and just like your great-grandfather wanted to hang him on a big stick, why don't you hang him on the big stick? Your great-grandfather will be so proud of you. You'll hang a Jew named Mordechai on a big stick." "Oh," Henry says, "yes, that's wonderful. I hereby make a royal decree in my kingdom that the Jews have to pay me 10,000 silver pieces and bring me a Jew named Mordechai. Whoever he is, I don't care, as long as it's a Jew named Mordechai, and we're going to hang him on a stick. Then I'll feel better, and in fact, I could buy apples and eat the apples while I'm watching him hang on the stick. I'll have a room full of money to buy my apples. And write it down, I'm making a royal law, a decree." And Kenelach, the writers wrote down the new royal decree. And the riders on the horses took the decree and put it up in all the neighborhoods. And of course they blew the trumpets. Beep, 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 beep. King Henry gives a new royal law. All Jews have to now pay King Henry 10,000 pieces of silver. And they also have to give one Jew named Mordecai to the palace to be hanged on a big stick. And the Jews heard the terrible decree of King Henry. And they cried. And they went to the shul to say Tehillim and to ask Hashem to help them. And they also made a big meeting as to what to do. And they decided, because they didn't know exactly what to do, because of course they have to daven and give tzedakah and say Tehillim, but maybe there's something they can do to help in a regular way or whatever. And at the meeting they decided, King Henry must be out of his mind. What kind of a terrible thing to make us do all this because he finds out he's an eunuch from Haman. Doesn't seem like we could speak to him in a regular way or ask him to have rachmanis on us. They decided this. They will send messengers to different tzaddikim in different places to find out maybe they have a good idea to be able to get rid of this terrible decree of King Henry. And so messengers went out to different cities that there were great tzaddikim to ask their bracha and advice. Now, tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, hopefully it'll be quiet. We'll continue with the story. King Henry has made a terrible decree upon the Jews of his kingdom. They have to pay him 10,000 silver dollars, which is not the worst part of it, even though it's so terrible. But he is going to take a man, any man, named Mordecai, and hang him on a big stick in order to get the Jews back for what they did to his poor great-grandfather Nebuch, Haman HaRasha. And the Jews have heard about this decree. They are crying, saying Tehillim. They're in shul, giving tzedakah, doing tshuva. Plus, shh. Oh, very good. They served apples again today to remind us of this story. All right, shh. Now they're sending shluchim, they're sending messengers to different tzaddikim for their advice and their bracha. And two of the shluchim went to the city of Krakow in Poland. And over there was the great tzaddik, Reb Moshe Isserlis. And they went now to Reb Moshe Isserlis in Krakow, Poland. Shh. And they, of course, expected, hopefully, the great tzaddik will give them a bracha and maybe advice. But they were very surprised at what happened. They went to Reb Moshe Isserlis and they told him about the terrible thing that was happening in their kingdom. And Reb Moshe shook his head and he said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do to help you. There's nothing I can do. And of course, the two shluchim are so surprised. The great tzaddik, Reb Moshe Isserlis, can't do anything, even a bracha. But then he said, like this, I can't do anything, but I know somebody that could help you. I will send you to him. Well, they expected some other name of a great tzaddik. They didn't know who. And they were surprised to hear Reb Moshe Isserles tell them, there is a little town a few miles away. On the outside of that little town is a little tailor shop. And there's a very poor tailor who sits in that shop and he fixes torn pants and torn clothes for poor people. They bring their torn clothes and torn pants and he fixes and sews them up. He is the one that could help you. Probably he will not want to help you. But if you mention that I sent you and I told you to go to him, so hopefully he will help you. Now, Kenalach, the two shluchim from the kingdom of King Henry, travel now to this town, a little town, a few miles away from Krakow. Outside of the town, they find this little broken shop. And they go into the little broken shop, and they see this old man, very poor looking, and he's fixing torn pants. And as soon as they come into the shop, he looks at them. He says, "What do you want? Your clothes look fine. They don't need to be sewn up. Leave me alone. I'm busy sewing up torn pants. I don't know why you come in my shop. Don't bother me. I'm very busy." And he looks back down at the torn pants and he goes on sewing them. We come from the kingdom of King Henry and we have a big problem. We'd like you to help us. "What? Who says I can help you with problems? My problems are torn pants, and your pants are not torn. Now why don't you go away, because I'm very busy." Now he was very impatient and nervous and not nice to them at all. And they're thinking, this is the man that's going to help us from the problem in our kingdom? When the great tzaddik, Reb Moshe Isserles, said he couldn't do it? And he's just some kind of a tailor sewing poor people's torn pants. And he's very nervous and upset all the time. "Go away now, I'm busy." Well, actually, Reb Moshe Isserles sent us to you. All of a sudden, he changed completely. And now he was very serious, looking at them. And he said, "Okay, I already know the problem, and all I'm going to tell you is one thing. You have nothing to worry about. Hashem will help. Go back to your kingdom. Tell your people that Hashem is going to help. Yes, they should go on saying Tehillim, giving tzedakah and doing tshuva, but they should know Hashem is listening, and Hashem has the help for them on the way." And he went back to sewing his torn pants. And the two shluchim felt that they had come to a very special person, probably a hidden tzaddik. And now they go back to their kingdom with the news. And now, of course, nobody knows what's going to happen. All they knew was that they have to trust in Hashem and the words of the tzaddik that they went to, and things will be okay. He didn't tell them anything to do except to go on doing their halakha things that they do. Well, now, Kenalach, this is the rest of the story. I am telling it the way I read it. I don't usually tell these kinds of stories, but it was such an interesting story, I decided I have to tell it to you. This is the rest of the story. Are you ready to listen? Okay, this is what happened. Now we go to King Henry's bedroom where he's sleeping in his pajamas. And all of a sudden now, King Henry wakes up. Now, do you know what the clock said on the king's wall? Well, it, as it says every day, 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, Rabbi Burstyn, isn't that kind of late to wake up? Well, not for King Henry. He could wake up whenever he wants. He woke up at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, the clock says 10 o'clock. All of a sudden, next to his bed, he sees a very strange thing. There is a beggar standing right next to his bed. It looks like a Jew. The beggar, he has torn clothes, and he's very skinny and very hungry looking, and he has his hand out. He says, I'm hungry. I need food. Get me food or money. And the king says, what in the world are you doing in my room? Now, he wasn't so upset at this beggar himself because he didn't look so dangerous or anything. He thinks to himself, how in the world did this beggar get into my room? Where's the guards? Nobody like this gets into the palace. The guards keep him out. He now jumps out of his bed. Do you think he washes Nagelwasser? No, he's not Jewish. He doesn't have to wash Nagelwasser. He runs out of his bed in his royal pajamas. And now he goes right outside of his room. On the way, he grabs his favorite sword covered with jewels because he wants to use that sword right now on one of his guards because he's very upset that the guards did not do their duty. Probably they fell asleep outside of his door. And he's going now right outside of his door to the guards outside of his door to scream at them and maybe use his sword. Why aren't you guarding outside of my door? How could you let this man in? And nobody is there. What? Where are my guards? He runs down the hall, and there's, of course, guards at the beginning of the hall to the king's room, besides the guards that are outside of the king's room. And he starts screaming, why did you let this beggar into my room? How did he... All of a sudden, no guards. Where are my guards? No guards outside of my room, and no guards outside of the hall. He runs to the gate, the entrance of the palace, the entrance of the building of the palace. Not the outside gates in the yard, but the inside of the palace where there are guards standing. And he starts screaming, why did you let this man in? All of a sudden, no guards. Nobody. There's not a soul. Nobody. Where's everybody? Where's all my officers and guards? Why isn't anybody guarding my palace? And now he runs out into the yard. He's going to go to the entrance of the gate of the palace, to the gate of the gardens, to start screaming at those guards. After all, those are the ones that stand at the very beginning of the palace. Nobody could climb over the walls. They're too high. And they got spikes and pokers on them. And on the way, of course, there's different trails and different paths in his gardens. And the king is running, and the king is running. And he's getting very, very upset. And all of a sudden, a strange thing happens. He starts to get lost in his own gardens. Hey, what is this trail? What are these trees? What are these flowers? I don't remember this part of the garden. And he turns a corner and he goes somewhere else. Wait a minute. Where's the front gates? I should have reached them by now. I feel lost. Has it been such a long time that I'm in my own gardens that I'm lost? And he turns one way and he turns another way and he keeps running and running. And he's running for a long time in his own gardens. And he doesn't recognize where he is. This is very strange. I don't know where I am. All of a sudden, he gets to one end of a trail, and there's a big, gigantic wall. Hey, the walls of my palace are very high, but I don't remember them being this high. They were so gigantic, all the way up to the top of the sky, it seemed. They were so high. I better go the other way. He turns around, all of a sudden he sees another wall. Hey, he turns around, there's another wall, and another wall. You know how many walls there are so far? Four walls. Hey, this is getting spooky. I'm in like a room in the garden with four gigantic walls, way high. I don't remember this being in my garden. I want to get out of here. I'm getting the creeps. He turns around to run out some kind of a door. There has to be a door here. Well, I guess there doesn't have to be a door because there was no door. Oh, wait a minute. How could it be I came in and I can't get out? There's no door, just walls. How am I going to get out of here? Hello, hello, help. I'm the king. I'm trapped in my own garden. Guards, where are you? And he's listening for an answer.